Happy New Year.
Happy New
Year. And merry 12th day of Christmas. Tomorrow begins Epiphany, the day and season of the year where we focus on the light that came at Christmas and how it didn't stay confined to a specific people in a tiny geographic area in the corner of the Roman Empire, but went out to the whole world. The story of the wise men from the east following a star to bring their gifts to the infant, or perhaps by that point, toddler Jesus, is the first indication of how God's incarnate love was meant not just for the people of Israel, but for the Gentiles, literally the goyim, the people not like us. As you hear the passage I'm about to read from the book of the prophet Isaiah, written 500 years or more before the birth of Jesus the Christ, consider how it spoke first to a people who had returned from exile in Babylon, and then how it functions to prefigure the birth of Christ and the visit of the sages from the east. Listen now for God's word first from the book of Isaiah. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. Our second passage of Scripture comes from Matthew's Gospel, the second chapter, beginning with the first verse. As you hear it read, think about what traits characterize the wise men from the east and how they differ from the portrait of Herod and all of Jerusalem with him. Listen now for God's word in Matthew's gospel. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people, Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time that the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you've found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. And may the gospel be more to us than mere words. May your Holy Spirit produce in us strong conviction. Amen. At the 4 o'clock children's service on Christmas Eve, those of us in attendance were treated to a wonderful skit that Pastor Susan created. It was, no pressure, Susan, it was the best one ever. It featured 3 stars in the Bethlehem sky, her, Pastor Katie, and me, all wearing glittery starhead gear and looking down and relating events unfolding in the tiny town below. Big Star, that was me, I always wanted to be a big star, would pause every so often and ask, what should I do? And the kids and their parents and grandparents would shout out, shine the way to Jesus. Pastor Katie played Shiny Star, who was enthusiastic and easily distracted like Dory in Finding Nemo. When she would pause and ask, what should I do? Everyone would yell, just keep shining, just keep shining. Pastor Susan played Shaky Star, who was older and dimmer and born in a galaxy far, far away. When she would pause and ask grumpily, what should I do? The response was, shine a little brighter, shine a little brighter. Those 3 admonitions, to shine the way to Jesus, to just keep shining, and to shine a little brighter, were meant, of course, not just for the stars, but for all of us in the crowd. It's not just the stars in the story or otherwise that are called to shine. That's the work all of us are called to do. I couldn't get that skit out of my mind when I was studying our passage from Isaiah in preparation for today, because after all, the text begins with the prophet's admonition to a group of returned exiles to arise and shine, because your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Isaiah doesn't pretend that there will be no difficulty or darkness, no hardship or distress. In fact, he affirms that darkness will cover the earth and thick darkness the peoples. But he says, the Lord will arise upon you and his glory will appear over you, and nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. What a hopeful word for a second generation of people who I'm sure had just about given up hope, having been disgraced and displaced, taken ignominiously from a land and a way of life that was familiar to them and deposited in a country that was not their own. While most of us, thank God, cannot relate to that experience in a literal way, we do know what it is, like the people Isaiah initially wrote to at least occasionally experience disappointment and discouragement. As we enter a new decade, some, if not all of us, look at what's unfolding around us in our personal lives, in our families, nationally and globally, with more than a little trepidation. Can we be honest about that? It can be all too easy to lose heart when the darkness seems to be closing in, or at least when uncertainty seems high. We may not have been uprooted from our homeland and carried away into exile, but grief and illness and the persistence of violence and injustice, wars and the possibility of wars, all have a way of unsettling us. It is to an unsettled people that Isaiah brings his word of hope. And what the prophet tells them and us is not just to rise and shine because our light has come and the glory of the Lord, the weighty presence of God is upon us. The prophet tells us to lift our eyes and look around. And then he says, you will see and be radiant, and your heart shall thrill and rejoice. And the word translated rejoice literally means be enlarged. Your heart shall be enlarged when you look around. I love that. Lift up your eyes and look around, and you will see and be radiant, and your heart shall thrill and rejoice. It shall grow. It shall be enlarged. It is possible in unsettled and uncertain times to do nothing but look down or look backwards. We keep our gaze downcast, trudging along one foot after the other. We look back on the past ruefully, if, right, Anne? Lamenting our past mistakes or wishing we could return to some former glory days. We can get caught up in ourselves, in our sense that we are all alone, that it's all up to us, that no one cares. We can ruminate and isolate, dwell in fear and anxiety, or, and this really is a choice, we can ask for help. We can lift our eyes and look around and see and be radiant. It occurred to me that if the wise men had just been looking down and backwards, they never would have seen the star in the sky. They had to look up. Since I last preached on Christmas Eve and talked about how life is not perfect, but it can be glorious, I've had the opportunity to lift up my eyes and look around some. Here's some of what I've seen. It hasn't all been sunshine and roses, sweetness and light. There is some darkness. Paying attention to the news can be unsettling in the best of times. In addition to the usual glut of news of human inhumanity to other humans, I'm aware of the threat of an escalation of hostilities and the promise of revenge from Iran for the death of their general. I'm aware that more than a quarter of the continent of Australia has been on fire. Images from the land down under seem apocalyptic. And knowing that we have dear friends in our family from the Camino who live down there makes it seem a little closer to home. I've read reports of violence against Christians in Nigeria, including the execution of an entire bridal party. I've been by the bedside of an Emmanuel member in his last days of life and with another family whose young adult son has troubling neurological issues. And before I made my New Year's resolution to abstain from reading the comments on articles, I saw yet more divisiveness and polarization in our own country. I share that not to be a downer, but simply to say that I know how hollow it can sound to say, rise and shine and look around you and be radiant. I know how hollow that can sound. That being said, what better reason than the persistence of violence and disease and death and disappointment is there for us to shine and be radiant in the world? The light of incarnate of love, the work of peace and justice, the care of friends and neighbors is more needed than ever now. We are people who are called to shine the light, not just big star and shiny star and shaky star, but all of us. So let me tell you what else I've seen when I've lifted my eyes and looked around in the past couple of weeks. I've seen members of this community of faith reach out to hurting individuals and families in our midst. I've watched people's faces glow as they've talked about the ongoing impact in theirs and others' lives of working in our hypothermia shelter together. I've beheld images of Australians cradling koalas and kangaroos hugging humans who saved them from the flames. I've witnessed renewed dedication to justice and caring for the earth. I've read a letter signed by leaders of 20 different Christian denominations, including our own, cautioning us as people who follow Jesus against a rush to war. That's just doing the job of a church to say, hold on. Let's be careful. Violence is not something to rush into. I've looked on as a wife and a daughter and a son, tenderly cared for a dying husband and father. I've also been to two weddings, one in Philadelphia last Saturday, where two 30-somethings with their whole lives ahead of them pledged to live those lives in covenant love, and one just yesterday at Judith's Church, where a widow and a widower entering their 70s, who had both cared for their spouses through debilitating illness and knew well the cost of loving another person in sickness and in health, committed themselves to each other and to God in marriage, and both couples' faces were radiant. They glowed from the inside out. They were glowing with love from the inside out. While Judith and I were in Philadelphia, we also went to the National Liberty Museum. If you haven't discovered that little gem yet, I encourage you to go the next time you're up there. The museum is filled with images and artifacts that testify to the indomitability of the human spirit, the heroes and heroines who rushed into collapsing buildings to save lives, the people who spoke up for liberty and justice for all and not just for some, the individuals and families who sheltered Jews in the Holocaust, the men and women who have received the Congressional Medal of Honor for acts of bravery on the battlefield. Tributes to Nelson Mandela and Malala Yousafzai and Martin Luther King and Dietrich Bonhoeffer and Václav Havel and so many, many others. But the centerpiece of the whole museum, from my point of view, is a towering 21-foot-tall Cholula orange, red, and yellow glass sculpture that looks like a flame rising from the bottom floor up through the ceiling to the next floor. Encircling the sculpture on display is a large ring of orange that, if you hold on to it, lights up from the inside out, by the way. And a multimedia presentation about freedom and the cost of freedom begins to play around you. And near the end, the presentation asks you to grab hold of the ring again once more and commit to the cause of working for liberty and justice. And when you do, when you hold on to that ring, when you commit yourself, a light rises in that magnificent sculpture until the whole thing is aglow, radiating with the light of human love and commitment to our highest principles. It becomes clear when you're in that museum, at least it became clear to me, that the world needs people who are radiant like that. It needs people to be radiant like that, to glow from the inside out with the fire of love and kindness and mercy and justice. So today is also our annual Star Sunday. You should have a yellow star in your bulletin. On that star, I'm going to ask you, as I do every year, to put a word for the year, a word to guide you in the way of Jesus through 2020. In some churches, like Judas Church, you come up and all the stars are on the table, and you pick a star at random, and you don't know what kind of word you're going to get. It's just the luck of the draw. Here, we ask you to pray about your word. Have it be a word that you choose with God's help to guide you. The one thing I want to ask you to do this year is whatever word you choose, I want you to choose a word that will help you to be radiant, to help radiate the way of Jesus out into the world around you and the lives that you touch. Howard Thurman, that great African-American mystic and advocate for social justice, said, "Don't ask yourself what the world needs. Ask yourself what makes you come alive and go and do that. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive." What will help you to radiate the love of God embodied in human flesh this year? Choose that word and then live into it. And I'll do the same. In Jesus' name, amen.